Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text that we shall consider this morning comes from the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, reading verses 16 through 21. Jesus told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" We pray. Lord our God, preserve our hearts from covetousness and grant us true wisdom, that we seek not after the treasures of this earth, nor put our trust in uncertain riches. Fill our hearts with contentment, that satisfied with daily bread, we seek first the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and inherit the same with him. For his sake, amen. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who with his holy, precious blood secured for us eternal life in heaven, where we shall be invited to relax, eat, drink, be merry, and be rich toward God forevermore. Dear fellow redeemed, the reason Jesus told this parable of the rich fool was that someone approached him and said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus dismissed this request by pointing out that his vocations in this life did not include being a judge in such civic matters. But it did cause Jesus to touch on something that usually is involved in such concerns. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, each one of you has a history of battling covetousness in your life. How do I know that? I and all sinners do as well. Now, do you think this supposed rich farmer in the parable would have ever reached a time in his life, if he lived long enough, when he would have been truly content? Even after he built those larger barns, would he have been content? No, we all know the insidious nature of covetousness. While we think possessing certain things in this life will give us lifelong fulfillment and contentment, it never does. We may declare that if we finally possess a certain item, we will then be happily satisfied for the rest of our lives, but shortly after acquiring it, we discover other items of temptation to try to meet our ongoing desire for satisfaction. I remember one time as I served a parish with a school, and I was advisory to the school board, knowing some of the financial struggles of some of the families, and some would be in arrears and paying tuition, and some would not even cooperate and work with the school board, but continued sending their children without any money being given. And one day, I was in the school church secretary and bookkeeper's office that overlooked the parking lot. And she knew, as I, that this certain family was not being responsible at all, not even speaking to the school board. And they pulled up in a nice, new, shiny Cadillac Escalade. And I said to the secretary bookkeeper, and here I am, driving a 78 Plymouth Volare. No, it was a sporty model. It had a blue vinyl top, and I think it had even spoke hubcaps. But I registered my complaint. The secretary bookkeeper, who was a member, said to me, "Now, Pastor," she was right. And it wasn't only that I was coveting and wishing I had something better than I had, but with that "now, Pastor," there was also implied, "Pastor, you are rich toward God. Be satisfied. Be happy." Jesus calls upon us to be rich toward God. And how does that happen? Well, it's happening for you right now. You are here seeking first Christ's kingdom and his righteousness. You are being filled with the promise that the relaxing, eating, drinking, and being merry will all be added unto you. If not all right here and now, at least later in heaven, secured for you by his holy precious blood. Now, Jesus was tempted, just as we are, with the sin of covetousness. We know of one incident in particular when Satan took Jesus out in the wilderness and there showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and promised to give them all to him. Do you think there might have been any temptation to covetousness for Jesus when he observed, for example, the homes of Mary and Martha, Peter, Jairus, and so on? But without sinning, Jesus observed to a potential follower one day, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus committed not one sin of coveting, all the while being tempted to covet throughout his life, just like you are. This is important and speaks to how you are rich toward God. Jesus was perfect, never sinning once, so that he might take his perfect, righteous life to the cross and there sacrifice it for all your sin. Just like he took the sins of covetousness to himself from that thief hanging next to him on the cross. And Jesus promised that through faith, this thief would be with him in paradise that very day, because the sins of covetousness would all be laid upon him and paid for by him through his suffering, and that his perfect life would be credited to him through faith. And that believing thief was rich toward God. And so are you, my fellow redeemed, in the exact very same way. There may come a day when you will need to have an inheritance rightly adjudicated, but may it be in accordance with the last will and testament of the deceased, and not because you are seized with ugly covetousness. I have heard of dysfunctional families torn asunder because of such motivation, involving things like insurance fraud or grabbing the power of attorney in the last hours of the person that was dying. All such earthly treasures have a limit on their value, but the richness toward God in His Holy Son for you holds eternal, unending value for you. God grant you the grace to seek always to be rich in Him, and then you will recline at His table, feasting in everlasting joy for Jesus' sake, forevermore. Amen. Please rise, and we will use the Lord's Prayer. And we will pause briefly after the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," and think of the parable that Jesus told in our text. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Almighty, order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen.